Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. On this day before Lent, Tuesday, welcome to Focus on Albany. Today, we're going to do our monthly program, County Ledge Spotlight, with my friend Mark Grimm. And Mark Grimm is here to talk about a number of issues that took place last night at the county meeting. So, Mark, first of all, how was the meeting? Was it good?
Well, first of all, I'm an Albany County legislator from Gilderland. Great to be with you, Cynthia. There was contentious last night. I think, as you know, there's been a new leadership vote. A new leader was installed, and there's some hard feelings. I think you could see readily last night in some of the contentious debate. But that's okay. I mean, what I liked about last night's meeting is a lot of people were kind of voting on their own. Some Democrats, yes, some no, some Republicans, yes, some no. And that's really very unusual for legislatures, which are mostly party line votes on the contentious issues. But there were a number of things we disagreed on. And one of them was one of the things I objected to, and that really got as many no votes as anything. And that's a plan to give Rockefeller Institute another $100,000 regarding this whole shared services thing. Now, the governor came out with a dictate that the county should come up with a shared services plan, and many of the counties participated. We paid Rockefeller Institute $75,000 to do a study to come up with ideas for shared services. But now the legislature has proposed and was passed last night to give them another $100,000 to implement it. Or as I like to say, we're paying them to study the study. So I think, you know, that's not the best use of taxpayer money. So I objected to that, and it ultimately it passed, but there were quite a few no votes involving that.
Wow. So when you initiated a conversation about that, what was the reaction from your fellow legislators?
It was a good debate. I mean, the point on the other side is it's a professional organization, and the study they did for us was pretty good. But my feeling is we have 2,400 county employees, and I trust their ability to kind of follow through on the study. So I have a little more confidence in the county workforce than some of the other members, it appears.
Now, you said that there is a little dissension, or, you know, everybody's not particularly happy. Why is that, as far as the new leadership is concerned? What are the problems that came to the surface?
Well, we had a Rule 11 last night, and for folks who don't follow the legislature, that's a procedure where you can vote on something right at the meeting that it's introduced, and it's not referred to committee. Obviously, we like to refer things to committee so we can vet them and everyone has a chance to comment. But on occasion, they use a Rule 11 if it's a timeliness issue. And some of the old guard, if you will, objected to Rule 11, and we had a debate about that. And, you know, it got a little contentious at times, but that's okay. And ultimately, the authorization, first you have to pass the authorization to use Rule 11, and that passed 30-7. And then the resolution were adjustments to the budget. The chairman and the majority leader have, hired some new people for their staff, which was expected, of course, when you have a change in regimes. And that passed 31-6 after the debate. Now, I was torn on it because I think this legislature spends too much money on itself. $3.7 million is too much. The old regime spent that, and the new regime is spending that too. So that's something we need to work on. On the other hand, I do think the chairman and majority leader should have a prerogative as to how they want to staff their office ultimately. So that was a fair consideration too.
Now, do you think within the next few months, the issue of downsizing the legislature will come up again?
Well, it may. I think there's some other things ahead of it. Redistricting is really critical. By redistricting is how you draw the maps. Now, I know this sounds
right,
like some inside baseball to most people, but it's very significant. Who ultimately represents you is oftentimes determined how they draw the map in the first place. And until we do redistricting, there'll be no talk of downsizing, because people, what people fear most from downsizing is that they're going to be redistricted out of their office. So until redistricting is done, I don't think there's going to be much talk of downsizing. Downsizing is a heavy lift, Cynthia, because you're talking about legislators voting to put some of their seats out of business. And you know, what legislators have most of all is a survival instinct. They want to survive. And so that's going to be a heavy lift for the legislature. I support it, though, always have. I think our legislature is too large, too cumbersome. We should have a smaller legislature.
How many members do you think the legislature should have?
Well, it's 39 now. During my campaign, I wanted to cut it to 13. But I just don't, you know, I don't have the votes for that. But, you know, there's been a proposal out there to cut it to 25. And, you know, I think this is something we should keep beating the drum. That's, you know, it's a heavy lift, but we should keep beating the drum, because our legislature is too large and too costly. As I pointed out earlier, we spend too much money on ourselves.
The reason I asked you that is I had a conversation with a friend of mine yesterday, and that person thinks that the legislature should be downsized to 5 people. Do you think that's too drastic?
5 people? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have over 300,000 people in the county, so that would be one representative for every 60,000. That wouldn't be local representation for a county. I mean, that's an awful large district. So 5 is a little overboard, but you know, at least you're thinking the right direction. Your friend's thinking in the right direction.
Now, we have 39. So you just mentioned the population. So how many people does each legislator represent?
About 7,500 people.
Okay. Okay. So campaigning with an audience of 7,500, that's pretty doable, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, one of the things I do like about it, Cynthia, is you can go to every house in your district. And I did it twice, but, you know, I'm known for really being like a maniac going door to door. I really pound the doors. But, you know, so that's, in some ways, that's a buffer against the big money. Because, of course, there's a lot of special interest money in the county legislature, to say the least. Anytime you spend $680 million, you're going to have a lot of special interest money. And I didn't get any. And my opponent got over half his money with some special interest. And, you know, we won by 30 points. So it does provide an opportunity to go out and meet people and have them size you up right at the door, which I like. And I think if you're authentic and genuine and have something to say, I think that really favors you. So I like small districts. I just think we have too many of them. And we could get, you know, we could expand and still have a reasonably sized district.
On a county level, what would you say are special interests?
Oh, anyone who's getting money. Anybody who is getting money wants to keep getting more.
Yes, I understand that, but like, name the kind of
who gives money?
Professionals.
Certainly. You know, builders, contractors, unions, all the people that have direct interest in how the money is spent for the budget. So, and they give they give money. They give a lot of money. And, you know, so what I have to do is really pass the hat and say, look, this is what I stand for and support me. And, you know, I've been pretty successful doing that.
And there was also an issue about contingency funding last night, correct?
Yes. This was kind of interesting. There's we approved a land deal at 1031 Broadway. And what happens is this person, they just left the property for years, and now they want to repurchase it. You know, circumstances change, the economy changes. But there's been an ongoing controversy. When the county takes over property, or, you know, if property falls in their lap, we have created an Albany County land bank, and the whole goal of the land bank is to find properties and to bring them back to life. But that gets expensive.
Uh-huh.
You buy properties, and you know, a lot of these properties, of course, are troubled properties. That's why they were delinquent in the first place.
Right.
So we're concerned about, you know, we're giving the land bank money. We want the land bank to be self-sustaining. That is, you flip properties, you make money where you can, and then you sustain yourself. But that's not been the case. We've been pumping money into the land bank. So this was kind of controversial. There's a proposal to use some of the money from this most recent land deal that I just mentioned and put it into a contingency fund to use at a later date. And, so I had several questions about that. But ultimately, if it's in the contingency funds, this legislature will still get to decide how we spend it. So ultimately, I voted yes on that because, especially since I'm on the Finance Committee, we're going to get a good look at how that contingency money is used, and hopefully we're going to put it to good use.
Now, there was also an issue that was brought up last night about transparency. Can you explain that?
Well, the objection was with the Rule 11, they didn't have time to vet these staff appointments. And there's some legitimacy to that because it didn't go through the review process. But I also think, we're into mid-February now. We have a new regime in there, and they need to staff their office now. I think both sides of the argument have legitimate points of view here. So, is it transparent? Yes, it was. We listed in the resolution all the increases and decreases in the line items. So it was transparent. And then ultimately we voted on what we thought. And if you were for it, you said yes. And if you're against it, you said no.
Okay. So right now the leadership consists of Gary Demolowitz and Andrew Joyce. And the Republican who I interviewed yesterday is can you pronounce his last name for me?
Yes, it's Moriello. I'm glad you said that because
Moriello.
In every press conference the Democrats have held, mispronounced his name. So it's Frank Moriello is the minority leader, the Republican leader of the legislature, along with Gary Demolowitz, who's the majority leader, and Andrew Joyce, who's the new chairman.
Right. Now, do you anticipate with all of the new positions that have changed hands or created, do you see a more vibrant legislature, and do you see it more responsive to the needs of the people in Albany County?
Well, that's the goal, Cynthia. That's our hope and our expectation. There is a mutual agreement between some Democrats and some Republicans that we wanted a more member-driven legislature, the members percolating ideas, and then they get the fair review. And, so this is a great experiment. This is we are making history in Albany County. Make no mistake about it. This is not how the state legislature operates. This is not how Washington operates. This idea of saying, let's forget Democrat and Republican for a while and say, let's put our heads together and see if we can't improve things for the county. That's Chairman Joyce's vision, and that's what we hope to realize over the ensuing months and years.
Let me play the devil's advocate for a second. If bipartisanship, as far as Andrew Joyce is concerned, and the word is bipartisanship, I know, and you do also, that everybody who's elected to office is immediately thinking of their next run. You're probably thinking about it, and so are the other 38 people who are running as in addition to the county executive. Do you think this whole concept of bipartisanship is a way to marginalize a Republican who might want to run for county executive?
No, I think this bipartisan idea is something the chairman genuinely agrees with, and we agree with. And it's really about, how do we work in a cooperative way to do things well for our constituents? It's as simple as that. And, if it works well, then the people that were involved in this are going to be in good position for whatever they might do down the road politically. And so,
okay.
And certainly Republicans are not being marginalized. Republicans have more say now in the Albany County Legislature than probably they've ever had. And it's because we were willing to work with Democrats for mutual goals. And those mutual goals are, you know, as I say, putting the labels aside for a while and say, let's just work on good ideas and implementing good ideas. And if we do that, everyone involved in that process, I think, is going to do well politically, because that's what the people want.
Now, when you made a decision to run for the county legislature, it wasn't as bipartisan as it is today. And I believe that Republicans didn't have as much say as this is evolving. So what made you decide to run for the county legislature when you knew you were going to be in the minority and you wouldn't have as much say as you would if you were a Democrat?
Well, because I knew from my old town board experience, where I was in the minority then on the Goodland Town Board, and I had a big impact. In fact, the day I left office, I posted 24 accomplishments. And I said, everyone, whoever serves in office, should have to do this the day they leave. And the reason I had an impact was I had good ideas, and I was able to articulate those ideas well, and I had some guts. You have to stand up to the standard way of doing things. It takes guts. But and that's exactly what I have brought to the county legislature, and I've made a difference these last 2 years. I've won some votes. I've influenced policy, and I'm going to continue to do that. So have I made a difference in the county legislature? You bet your life I have, and I think I'm going to make a bigger difference. And that's the attitude everyone should take, is just come to the table, do your homework, come up with good ideas, and show some guts. And if you do that and you stay in touch with the people who elected you, you're going to have an impact. So this idea that one person can't make a difference, it's baloney. What if George Washington had felt that way? So my message to people who are interested in running for politics is consider it. And people who are not cut out to be candidates, look around you. Who are the leaders in your community? Who's running your little league? Who's running the soccer club? Who's running the music program? Those are the leaders in your community. You should approach them, encourage them to run, because they're making a difference in the community, and they can make a difference in politics if they choose to get involved.
Now, let's talk about the fact that you had mentioned to me that before I had contacted you, the people didn't get as much coverage of the county legislature, you know, and
yes,
as of right now. excuse me. Even though, you know, it might be increasing, I think people are still... They have a mindset into the old way of thinking, and I could see the numbers, and it's not where I believe they should be. So how do I, and how do the other legislators make people realize what's going on in the county is important, and they should be paying attention?
Several ways. One is modernization. And as you know, Cynthia, I'm co-chair along with Lynn Lukakis, a Democrat, myself a Republican. We're co-chairs of the Modernization Task Force. That's one of the first things Chairman Joyce did, is appointed us. And our job is to bring us into the 21st century. And we know we're taking input now, and we're interviewing IT folks, and we're going to come up hopefully with a plan to do this. And one of the things I want to do is not only be transparent, but interactive. I want people, when we post an agenda, for example, I want a hashtag to go with that agenda. Hashtag is something you use on Twitter, where people can enter this discussion just by using the hashtag. So if it was Albany Ledge 1 or something, for example, you could just use that hashtag, and everyone who wanted to comment on the upcoming agenda could comment, and we could all see it. Because right now, we vote on bills, and then sometimes we hear from our constituents. I want to hear from my constituents before we vote on bills. You know, doesn't that make sense? I mean, because voting is about judgment, and my judgment is stronger, and everyone else's judgment is stronger if we are able to engage the constituents. So I think we have to reach out to them, engage them in social media, and also speak more clearly. too many of these resolutions are bureaucratic speak. You're reading through them and you really can't say, what the heck are they asking money for? So we have to be better at having clear, practical outcomes. We want $1 million from the legislature. This is what we are going to deliver, and I want you to check on us in a year to make sure we deliver that. So if we speak in clear, practical terms, and we reach out, and we really make an effort to be interactive with our constituents, they're going to become more engaged, and more people are going to vote, which is, of course, the ultimate goal. Is right now people don't really know what the county ledge does, and the more they learn, and as I'd like to say, the first thing they should know is we spend $680 million of their money. That should be a catcher. That should be an eye-opener right there. And we have many critical needs that we meet, and if we don't meet those needs, they won't get met. So we have enormous responsibility both to our constituents who have need and also to our taxpayers who have to foot the bill for those needs.
Great. Now, as far as last night's meeting, have I missed anything? Is there anything else you want to add to that?
No, I just think we're off to we've begun a new era. This was the first meeting after the chairman vote. And I do think some of the hard feelings are going to lessen over time. I just think that, it's to be expected a little bit that people are going to have hard feelings because we tossed out the leadership and put in new leadership. But what's going to be really interesting is how, you know, there's nobody holding a stick over your head now to vote. I think we're going to have a lot of votes where the Democrats are split and the Republicans are split. And ideally, that's how it's supposed to be. This is something I always have done is I vote on the merits in every issue. No one's ever told me how to vote anywhere I've been. And, I get that the fact part of that is I've been able to raise money on my own, and I do mailings on my own, so I'm not really relying on any special interest or anything. But I think I hope we can continue a trend where every member feels free to vote on the merits. And if we do, we're going to have a truly representative and democratic legislature.
Now, you just mentioned something interesting, and it's also evolving. As we close this show, I want you to talk again how people could get involved in the county legislature, and that's by using Twitter and the hashtag. So explain how that works so more people can become part of the political process.
Well, first of all, they should follow your show, because let's not forget that you as the region's premier citizen journalist are taking the time to interview these legislators, and they're willing to because they respect you, they're willing to give you their time, because we have a lot of requests for time. So following Cynthia Pooler and for Focus on Albany is very important, because you're really the only place that I can think of that you go in depth on county ledge issues. I don't know any other place in the media that does it. Now, they also can follow the legislature on, the county ledge website, find out who your representative is. I'm in the 29th district, which is the Carmen Road, Western Avenue area, Gilderland. I have a Facebook page. I have a Twitter page. I have a regular website, and it's all Grim Ledge. Grim Ledge on Twitter, Grim Ledge on Facebook, grimledge.com is my website. And I post things there to keep people up to date. So it's a simple thing to just follow your legislator or follow me, because, not everybody's doing this stuff to the extent that I do. So I would encourage all your listeners to follow my stuff and interact and tell me how we're doing. And this isn't just about telling you how we're doing. It's about hearing from people with their concerns. I posted stuff that's drawn thousands of viewers and gets shared by many people who I do not know. But they thought the issue was enough that they wanted to share it with everybody else on Facebook.
Now, in addition to being in politics, you also have your own business, and you're a motivational speaker. Tell us a little bit about that. I find that very intriguing.
Well, thank you. It's we have to, the legislature doesn't pay the mortgage. Okay, I understand it's a part-time job. And which is good, because everyone, you should be doing something else, because I think that helps your perspective. My perspective is a small businessman. I've run Mark Grimm Communications now for 16 years. And as a sole proprietor, I have to be really clear about what value I deliver, and I have to satisfy my clients, or else I don't make any money. and then you know the lights start to go off. So in your home, but really it's a what I do is motivational speaking. I also do a lot of keynotes for conferences, seminars on leadership and stronger meetings and public speaking skill and media skills. There's a long list of topics that I cover, and markgrim.com covers all those topics. So I just think I'm excited because every audience I get in front of, I think I'm going to help that audience. And Cynthia, helping people never gets old. So that's why I really enjoy what I do, both in terms of my business and in terms of my politics, because I think ultimately we're here to help people. And that's what I think of every day. When I wake up, I say, who can I help today? Every day I wake up, I ask that question.
And my most heartfelt desire is through these interviews with you and other people on the County Ledge, the city, the state, and sometimes they talk about national issues. I hope that, you know, I'm able to enlighten people. And you say about, you know, never getting old. You know, I'm a baby boomer. I love what I do. I'm retired. And I could do this forever. And I feel as if I'm never going to get old doing this. It's a lot of fun. So,
well, you're great. You're really, I definitely say, Anthea, you're just a very important component to public communication in our area because you have this passion. You're a citizen journalist. You don't come with any agenda, which is very important. You interview Democrats, Republicans alike with the same amount of fairness. So keep doing what you're doing because this you're part of the solution. And that's why I advertise these shows as much as I can because I think you make an important contribution. And on behalf of all my constituents, I thank you.
Thank you so much, Mark. So you have been listening to Focus on Albany, County Ledge Spotlight with County Legislator Mark Grimm. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. And thank you, Mark, and thank you, everybody, for listening. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.